Hello there and a hearty welcome to you. You are listening to Practical Living right here on your practical station, Adventist World Radio. I'm glad you were able to make it back to our broadcast today. Friday, hey, the weekend is upon us. Isn't it amazing how fast time flies? Imagine, it's another Friday. Wow. I hope and trust that your week has gone on well. Mine was great. God was really with me, and it was just a blessing. You know, every day that we have is a blessing. And if we don't realize it, I just pray that through these programs, we'll get to realize why God keeps us, you know, day in and day out. He does have a special purpose for us. I have a lot for you today, guys. We want to talk about marriages, about weddings, about families. That's right. And we're going to hear about different marriage and wedding customs around the world. And we're going to hear this from a Spotlight, friends. So right now is Spotlight.
Welcome to Spotlight. I'm Liz Waid.
And I'm Joshua Leo.
A man and a woman are standing together. They look extremely happy. A crowd of happy people also stands around the man and woman. As the man and woman walk away, the crowd throws rice at them. So why are this man and woman so happy? It is because it is their wedding day. The man is a groom, and the woman is a bride, a newly married couple. The crowd's rice is a symbol. The crowd wishes the couple happiness and success.
Today's Spotlight is on marriage customs. All around the world, getting married is an important event. And many times, there are different important or fun traditions that go along with getting married. Today, we look at some fun and interesting marriage customs from around the world.
People throw rice at weddings in many different cultures. In India, rice is a very important food. People there throw the rice to wish that the new couple has plenty of food in their new marriage. In ancient China, people threw rice to wish the new couple many children. But rice is only one thing people throw at weddings. Grains are very popular to throw at weddings. That is because grains are symbols for life and fertility. Many people want to wish a new married couple success and many children.
Marriage is a special event because it combines so many different parts of life. It involves traditions, religious practices, and civil laws. And many of these things change over time. Many of our modern marriage customs come from ancient traditions. For example, many ancient people groups believed in evil spirits. They believed that the presence of evil spirits could harm the couple getting married.
So many ancient traditions aimed to confuse evil spirits or frighten them away. For example, the custom of throwing rice or grains began this way. People thought the rice would take the spirit's concentration away from the bride and groom.
Another tradition comes from an ancient Roman custom. Brides and grooms in many different cultures have their friends or families stand with them in the wedding ceremony. These are attendants. The ancient Romans believed that the evil spirits would become confused with so many people around. They would not know which couple was the bride and groom. Of course, these thoughts are not common today, but the custom of having attendants remains.
Some marriage customs are designed for the time before a wedding. They aim to make sure the bride and groom will be a good couple. An engagement is a period of time after a man and woman have promised to marry each other, but before the wedding. In the United States, it is common for a man to ask a woman's father for his blessing. The man does this before he becomes engaged.
In Bulgaria, this tradition is similar, but a little different. If a man wants to become engaged to a woman, he needs his friend's help. The man's friend asks the woman's father for his blessing. If the father agrees to the engagement and marriage, he talks to his daughter. He asks his daughter 3 times if she wants to marry the man. If she answers yes all 3 times, the man can visit her house.
Many religious practices also influence marriage plans. It is important to be prepared for marriage. That is because it is a promise. Christians believe God created marriage for people. They believe that God created the world and everything in it. He created people to be together. The Christian Bible tells people that a marriage is permanent. When a couple gets married, they come together as one. They are no longer separate. The link between 2 married people is a beautiful thing. It is an act blessed by God. So people need to treat it seriously.
Many wedding traditions celebrate the uniting of a couple. A South African tradition uses fire as a symbol of unity. In this tradition, parents of the bride and groom take part of a fire from their own homes. They bring the fire to the bride and groom's new house. Then, they light a new fire for the couple with both flames.
And a traditional Hindu wedding unites more than just a bride and groom. It unites the bride and groom's families. A wedding in this tradition will usually involve a whole community with friends, family, and other relatives.
Marriage is a serious event, but it is also a reason to celebrate. Many wedding customs celebrate how much fun a wedding can be. In many parts of the Middle East, a bride and groom celebrate the wedding with five separate parties. The parties happen before and after the marriage, and they include many of the bride and groom's family members.
Wishing luck and happiness to a bride and groom before their marriage is popular all over the world. One interesting custom comes from Germany. Before the wedding, guests visit the house a bride and groom will live in. The guests bring ceramic or baked clay dishes. They break the dishes in front of the house, and the bride and groom must clean up the mess. If the couple works well together and keeps the area clean, they will have a happy marriage. It shows that the couple can work together.
Food is another way people celebrate weddings. Traditions in the Caribbean call for a special cake. It is called a black cake. Mothers give their daughters the recipe or directions for the cake. The recipe passes from generation to generation, and each woman tries to improve the recipe. The cake includes basic ingredients like flour, sugar, and butter. But it also includes dried fruits, and it is served with a hard rum alcohol sauce.
In Bermuda, there is another tradition using cakes. On top of the wedding cake, there is a small young tree. After the wedding, the bride and groom plant the tree at their home. As their marriage grows, so does the tree.
Many marriage traditions are very old and very beautiful. Marriage is a special link between two people. Celebrating with friends, family, and the whole community is a wonderful thing. But it is also good to remember that marriage is more important than just following traditions and customs. It does not matter if a wedding is big or small, if it costs a lot or a little, or if it follows traditional customs or not. A marriage is about a beautiful promise between two people, the bride and groom, a husband and wife. We hope you can join us again for the next Spotlight program. Goodbye.
Ah, yes, that was a beautiful presentation from our friends at Spotlight. You know, although I've been married for 3.5 years, it just seems like yesterday. I get all dreamy-eyed just thinking of Belinda and how beautiful she looked on that day. Ooh. Hey, why don't you tell us about your wedding and how you celebrated it? Later on, towards the end of our broadcast, I'll give you the address that you can use to tell us about it. And if you don't mind, I'll share it with the rest of our listeners. It would be great to know how weddings are done where you're from. Well, speaking of weddings and marriages and so forth, have you ever wondered why weddings exist and where this whole notion came from? You know, I've wondered about that at times, and I just marvel at how different places do it differently, and yet in many respects, the same elements are there, you know. There's a man, there's a woman, there's a lot of celebration and rejoicing. Strangely, though, nowadays, the lines are being blurred, you know, because you get these same-sex weddings. And it seems to be so much confusion. So, you know, whenever I'm confused about something or unsure, I always like going to a reliable source. Ah, and the Bible is a very reliable source. So to sort of help me with that, I called on the help of Dr. Gwala. So coming up next is an interview that you're going to hear with Dr. Gwala. So right now we have Practical Family. Be blessed. Welcome to Practical Family. This is the part of the show where we look at different ways to make your family more practical and make your experience more meaningful in today's society. I have a special guest with me, Dr. Gwala. Dr. Gwala lectures in the theology department at Helderberg College. He's in fact the head of the theology department. Welcome, Dr. Gwala.
Thank you.
Now, we want to look at family, but we want to start from the very beginning, from the Bible. We want to see what God had in mind when he instituted family. Can you help us with that, Dr. Gwala?
Thank you very much. I think we need to go back to the beginning. Your question is very interesting. Looking at the mind of God, we can only understand the mind of God as it is expressed in the Bible. I'm looking at the creation where everything began. And if we're looking at the very first chapter of Genesis, we are given a typical family that God created. He created male and female. And after creating them, he instructed them to multiply and fill the earth. Actually, I like the other word which is used, replenish the earth. Now, in chapter 1, you immediately get the concept of a father, mother, and children embedded in what God created. Maybe let me say it differently. You immediately see a husband, a wife, and children. That's what you see in Genesis 1. Genesis 2 confirms what Genesis 1 says. Genesis 2, God says, it is not good for a man to be alone. And when he said that, the Bible says, a woman came into the picture. Therefore, in a biblical sense, marriage has to do with a husband and a wife. There is no other exception that the Bible gives us. Husband and wife. And I've also picked up that in the Bible, you will also discover that family is not limited to the immediate family. In other words, to the husband, the wife, and the children. The Bible also has the concept of an extended family. The grandparents, the parents of the couple, and the relatives of the couple. Therefore, this in a biblical sense is a support base for the couple. But the couple makes its own decisions. The other thing that I need to bring to the attention of our listeners is that in the biblical concept of marriage, there is no legal contract that is signed, but there is commitment that the man makes to the woman and the woman makes to the man.
Sorry, Dr. Gwat, can I interrupt you there? There is no legal contract in the Bible at all. I've always understood family to be a legal institution, even from Bible times. So that concept is not in the Bible at all.
Yeah. By legal, I refer to our earthly legal systems. There is no earthly legal system that you find in marriages in the Bible. But there is a commitment that is made. In other words, it's even more than a commitment. I think it would be, I'm just looking for the correct word to put it. It's, okay, I'll think about it. But by commitment, I mean, I make a vow to my wife. She makes a vow to me. And once a vow is made, in biblical terms, you don't break that. If you break it, you are a liar. But we don't use that as legal terms. That, for instance, if I'm not a Christian, if I'm not someone with any relationship with God, to me, sometimes a vow may not mean anything. Up until I have a relationship with God, then I begin to understand what a vow is. The word that I wanted to use was covenant. Therefore, we make a covenant to each other, a covenant that does not have an escape clause. In other words, once I say to my wife, I love you, and my wife, I'm committed to you, I will stay with you forever, there is no escape clause there. There is nothing that says, when you grow older, I will love you less. When things are not going well in our relationship, I will go out. But the covenant says, when I make it, I keep it. If I don't keep it, then I'm a liar. Therefore, that's how marriage has been built in the Old Testament. It's built on trust, it's built on understanding, and it's built on commitment. When those things are there, then we have what we call marriage.
Wow, it's okay. I think it sounds straightforward enough. You have a male, like you said, would be the husband. There's the female, the wife. There's commitment, a covenant between the two, and there's children that constitutes the nucleus of the family. Mm-hmm. There is the extended family, which is, if I got you correct, a support system for this nucleus of the family we just looked at.
That's quite correct.
And this is binding because once someone understands who God is and they have that relationship with God, when they make a vow, mm-hmm. that vow is binding, mm-hmm. and hence there's no need for any courts or anything of that sort.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, Dr. Gwala, we have run out of time. We'll continue next time to look at the family. Thank you.
That was Dr. Gwala shedding a little more light on where this whole notion of marriage came from. If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Practical Living right here on your Practical Station. Now, before Dr. Gwala spoke, I had asked you guys to write into us and, you know, tell us about your wedding or how weddings are celebrated where you're from. Well, right now, I'm going to give you the addresses that you can use. Our postal address is Adventist World Radio, P.O. Box 22, Somerset West, South Africa. The postal code is 7129. Our email address is awr@sidmedia.org. Now, if you want, you can post your comments on our Facebook page. Just look for Sid Media. You know, like us and just leave your comments there. But I'm really keen to find out how weddings are conducted, where you're from, and what your understanding of weddings are. And like I said, if you don't mind, I will share that to all those listening so that we can appreciate how things happen where you're from. But sadly, guys, we're out of time. In as much as the week rushed by us and it's already Friday, guess what? It's time for me to go. But remember, right here on Practical Living, I give you practical tips and practical advice that if you follow will help to keep you healthy, wealthy, and wise. But that can only be accomplished through God's help. God, the one who created all that is, the one who instituted marriage and this whole idea of family. So I pray, in closing, that this God will bless you and your family in everything that you do. Thank you, and see you next time.